In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is well that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 booths here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, lo, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. The church's season of Epiphany comes to a fitting end with the festival of the Transfiguration. The Epiphany season is about revelation. It is about God revealing, making known, disclosing that Jesus of Nazareth is his Son, is his Christ, is the Lord. And so it is that we see, that we remember, that we rejoice, that wise men from the east were led by a star to seek and to worship the child Jesus as the King of the Jews. And so we see, we remember, we rejoice that at his baptism in the Jordan River, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God and anointed with the Holy Spirit. That as he went out in preaching and in healing, it was as if light was shining in the darkness. It is fitting then, at the end of a season that remembers and rejoices, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of God, the Lord, then we end with the Transfiguration. When Jesus hit the scene, when he began preaching, when he began healing, when he began casting out demons, there was a buzz. People were talking, but their talk was confused. So when Jesus would ask, "What are people saying? Who do they say that the Son of Man is?" Some said, "John the Baptist, apparently risen from the dead." Others, "Elijah, who was supposed to come before the great and terrible day of the Lord." And still others, "Jeremiah or one of the prophets." There was a buzz, there was talk, there was confusion. But Peter had it right. Peter grasped what God was making known. Peter understood what God was revealing, and so he confesses, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But it's just at this wonderful, this blessed moment that the story gets more complicated, that the story takes a turn. From that time on, Jesus began to show the disciples that he had to suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, that he would be killed and then rise again. Peter, lately of the good confession, objects. It's not supposed to be that way, but that indeed is how things are supposed to go. It's supposed to be a way of rejection and suffering, of crucifixion and then resurrection. But before he goes, before he makes his final approach to Jerusalem, before he engages the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, before his death and his resurrection, Jesus gives, at least to a few of them, a glimpse, a picture, for just a moment, of him as the Son of God in all his glory. And so up on a mountain apart, Peter and James and John see Jesus transfigured. His face shines, his clothes gleam, the appearance of the eternal Son of God. Moses and Elijah join them, speaking to Jesus, the law and the prophets, the one through whom the old covenant was given, and the forerunner of the one who was the forerunner for the new order. There they are with Jesus, who was to establish God's reign once and for all. And there, just as at the baptism, God himself speaks. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Divine confirmation of the divine revelation, but then also the divine command. Listen to him. Listen to him. Well, that's what the disciples heard. But when the decisive moment came, they were nowhere to be found. No one, it seemed, listened to Jesus. When Jesus is brought for his trial, finally it is asked, "Are you the Christ, the Son of God?" "Just as you say." "Blasphemy. He deserves death." And they give it to him. But even at his death, when the earth shakes, when the graves are opened, some say, "This must have been the Son of God." And they were right. And they were proven right all the more when Jesus rises from the dead. He's proven to be the Son of God. And so he says once more to his disciples. He speaks once more to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, so as you go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you." And then they listened. They listened and made disciples. They listened and they baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They listened and they taught the disciples to keep all that the Lord had commanded. And those who heard them also listened and believed and passed on the message. And so on and so forth. And here we are today. People who have listened. People who acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. People who believe. People who follow. But that still, that command, "Listen to him," is a word yet for us. We know we should, but of course we don't always. Sometimes it's our theology that gets in the way. Jesus would say, "You have heard it said, 'You shall not murder, an eye for an eye,' but I say to you." Jesus would teach. Jesus would command. But sometimes our theology gets in the way and we think to ourselves and we would say that these are things we cannot do. After all, our righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. We have to be perfect like our Father in heaven is perfect, and we can't do that. But it's a good thing that Jesus died for our sins, and we effectively ignore what Jesus would have to do. We don't listen. Jesus said, "I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Listen to him. Sometimes our theology gets in the way, and we think to ourselves, it can't be that way. So Jesus says to those who wonder why he's eating with tax collectors and sinners, "I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners." And we think to ourselves, it can't be that way. And we theologize and we work out that what Jesus wants us to do is realize that none of us is righteous, that we're all sinners, but it's a good thing that he died for us. And we don't listen to him. I suppose, among other things, it was for theology like that that led Jesus to be abandoned by his disciples and be put to death. But God raised him. God showed that he's his Son. Listen to him. But sometimes it's also the troubles in the world, the trials in our lives, the sickness, the pain, the suffering that we endure. We wonder whether God is with us. We wonder what God is up to. We wonder what we should do. And here too, listen to him. There was a man who was paralyzed. Of course, he can't get around by himself. His friends bring him to Jesus. They can't get in the house. They open the roof. You know the story. They lower him down. Jesus sees their faith and forgives the man his sins. There is a Canaanite woman, a Canaanite, an outsider, desperate for her child, comes to Jesus. Jesus puts her off. "You will not be right to give bread to the dogs." But she will not be deterred. Even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. Jesus praises her faith, and she gets her wellness. There is a woman with a hemorrhage for 12 years, and if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be well. And she touches, and Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." There is a centurion with a servant who is sick. Jesus says, "I'll come and heal him." The man says, "Don't bother. I'm not worthy. Beside, I'm a man with people under me. I have authority. When I say to do something, it's done. If you give the word, it will be done." And Jesus marvels at his faith, and it is done for him as he believed. Jesus marveled at the faith of these people. Their faith made them well. Their trust in Jesus was vindicated. What troubles you? What worries you? What confuses? What disorients you? Listen to him here too. What he did for a few, what he did for a few who trusted in him, he promises to do for you too. When he comes again in all his glory, when all the world will see and acknowledge that Jesus really is the Son of God, on that great and glorious day, your faith will be vindicated as well. So listen to him. Trust in him. In many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old by the prophets, people like Moses and Elijah. He spoke words of judgment and salvation. He spoke words of instruction and of comfort. All the more, he has spoken words of judgment and salvation, of instruction and comfort through his Son. Listen to him. Hear him. Trust in him. Follow him. And you will see him in his glory and rejoice.